This is Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth, podcasting from historic Hyde Park, New York. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Torres, pastor, teacher, and author. I'll be presenting a series on Christ, Christians, and Christianity from a biblical perspective. And my focus will be on the love, forgiveness, and acceptance found in Jesus Christ, which enables us to live victoriously. This is episode 7, entitled Divine Personal Revelation. God has made it abundantly clear that He wants and has enabled two-way communication between Himself and His creation. As a matter of fact, Jesus Himself said that He knows His own and His people hear His voice and follow Him. We see a beautiful section of scripture in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 21. And then the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse 9, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." But, and a very big but, God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. See, that's the scripture speaking. He reveals things through His Spirit, and we're able to receive those things because we are spiritual. Then he goes on in verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Then going on to verse 14, "But the natural man, the person who is not born again, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." And then finally in verse 16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we, as his children, we, as believers in Christ, we have the mind of Christ." Can you see it now? Everything God wants us to know, he reveals to us through his Holy Spirit who lives in us. Now, recently, we've been talking about how God speaks to us. In episode 5, we introduced the idea of the illumination of Scripture by the Holy Spirit. Then in episode 6, we talked about the power of the Scriptures that have been recalled from memory, as we discussed the difference between the Logos word and the Rhema word. And today we want to talk about a third way in which Jesus reveals through His Holy Spirit His truths to us, and is called personal revelation. Now, personal revelation is when you have a sudden insight into a truth that you could not have figured out yourself. And that's important. We're not talking about intellectual understanding, but we're talking about knowing something that perhaps we couldn't have known any other way except through the Spirit. So it's not intellectual understanding, but it is an aha moment when you see the truth and the truth sets you free from lies or untruths that have kept you blinded or in bondage. This revelation is divine in nature. That means it comes from God. Jesus said to those who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's John 8:31. For today, I've chosen three examples or cases of divine revelation to help us gain insight into what it is. And the first case has to do with the Apostle Paul. Now, just a little background on Paul. First of all, you need to understand that Paul, or otherwise known as Saul, was born after Jesus was crucified. You know, some estimates, you know, anywhere from 6 to 10 years after he was crucified. He was originally called Saul. That was his Hebrew name. And he was often referred to as Saul of Tarsus. That was the region from which he came. An important aspect of Saul's life was that he was a Pharisee. As a matter of fact, he would say that he was the Pharisee among the Pharisees. In other words, he was extremely religious. He believed that the law was to be upheld. He believed that the law was from Moses and came from God himself. And all of those things, while true, it caused him to become extremely legalistic and very narrow-minded. And then we see in Acts chapter 9 how while he was on his way to persecute Christians in Damascus, that while he was on the road, he had an encounter with Jesus. And through that encounter, God charged him, gave him a calling for his life, and also changed his name from the Hebrew Saul to what would have been the Greek Paul. And that's how we know him. We know him as Paul the Apostle. Of the 27 books of the New Testament, four of them are Gospels. There's one book of Revelation, and then the books in between are known as epistles. And so 4 plus 1 is 5. Subtract that from 27. That leaves you 22. Of the 22 epistles, the Apostle Paul is believed to have written 13 of them. Now, what's even more important to see is that, and we'll see this as we get into the book of Galatians, that he received personal revelation as to what Christians needed to know. And so we see this, this confession, if you will, this testimony, beginning in Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. And the Apostle Paul says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." You see, what Paul was saying is that what he received and what he wrote and preached came directly from Jesus Christ himself. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." We see that in Acts chapter 9. And then in 14, "And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father." But in verse 15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace." You see, even though the Apostle Paul spent so many years as a Pharisee, he was called from birth. His purpose was predetermined, just as your purpose is predetermined. Your past does not determine what your future will be. But in any case, he says that he was called through the grace of God to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Then he says, "I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." In other words, I didn't just get to people and get information from people. You know, I didn't go to seminary. I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't join a Bible group. But what I received from Jesus himself. Then verse 17 says, "Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me." Now remember, he was born after Jesus was crucified. And what he's saying is, I didn't run to the apostles and they didn't teach me what I'm sharing with you now. "But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remain with him for 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie." And so what Paul is saying is that during those 3 years, that was when Jesus downloaded, if you will, revelation that enabled him to write at least 13 of the letters of, or the epistles or books of the New Testament. And what we find in there, of course, in those books is we find doctrine, we find truth, truth after truth after truth. But he didn't get it from man. Then he says in verse 21, "Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, 'He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they've glorified God in me.'" And then Galatians 2:1, Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles today, but privately to those who are of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying is that the tremendous insight, the tremendous information, the tremendous download, if you will, of information from God came as personal revelation. He wasn't taught it. He received it, and he received it directly from the throne of God. Now, another important example is when we talk about the Apostle Paul, is that he received a revelation for communion. One of the two ordinances given by Jesus, of course, the other one is baptism. Now, what do I mean by ordinances? Well, what I mean is that these are the two things, communion and baptism, that Jesus commanded us to do. And so here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord." Now again, how did he receive it? Personal revelation. He didn't learn it from somebody. "But I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Isn't that powerful? He received it by revelation. You know, probably during that first 3 years that he talks about being away from everyone, and God just really just use him mightily in this case. The second case that we want to look at about personal revelation is really it regards Peter, the Apostle Peter. And we find this story, if you will, be in Matthew 16, 13 through 19. And I'm sure it's one that you're familiar with. But it begins at verse 13. "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?'" In other words, he was asking, what are the people saying? Who do they think that I am? Who do they say that I am? "And so the disciples answered, 'Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' But then he asked a very pointed question in verse 15, a question not only for that time, but a question that each one of us must deal with. "And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?'" See, that's a critical issue. Critical issue. Is he just a prophet, or is he God? And then verse 16, Simon Peter, the apostle Simon, the apostle Simon Peter, answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." How powerful that is. See, up to this point, he was known as the Christ. He was known as the Messiah, the deliverer, the Savior. Now, this is, let me interject a little side note. The word Christ is not Jesus' last name. His parents were not Joseph and Mary Christ. But Christ is a title. It's Greek for the Hebrew word Messiah. So Messiah and Christ are literally mean the same thing. You know, we often refer to it as Savior, in common English. But then Jesus says in verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonas," that's Peter, "for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Let me say that again. "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." That's personal revelation. When your Father in heaven, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to you about things you couldn't possibly know. Then 18 says, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." See, Peter had a divine personal revelation. He didn't figure it out using logic. It was just All of a sudden, he just knew the truth. He knew that Jesus was God. And that's a truth that each one of us receive by divine revelation. Now let's take a look at the third case. And this is the case of Doubting Thomas, found in John 20, verses 24 through 29. Now the first time that Jesus, the risen Christ, appeared to the disciple Thomas was absent. Later on, the disciple said to Thomas, "We've seen the Lord," and Thomas replies, "Unless I see his hands and the print of the nails, and I put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." You see, Thomas demanded proof before he would believe. What he was expressing was the total opposite of what faith is. Faith is seeing, then believing. He was saying, "Show me, and then I'll believe." And then about 8 days later, the disciples were together again. And while Thomas was with them, Jesus appeared in the midst of them. And he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, at that moment he had divine revelation. He said, "My Lord and my God." In this simple statement, "My Lord and my God," Thomas understood through personal revelation that Jesus was God. Notice that Thomas didn't say, "My Messiah," or "My Christ," or "My Savior," or "My Deliverer." He says, "My God." Now, I'll have to agree that seeing the risen Jesus would help all of us with our faith in him, don't you think? But listen to what verse 29 says. "And Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You see, he was speaking to us. We haven't seen, but yet we know it's true. We haven't seen, and yet we believe. We haven't seen, and we walk by faith and not by sight. So what is personal revelation? It's when God, through the Holy Spirit, gives you the grace to believe or have faith in the real revealing or the revelation of his truth. The truth is that Jesus is God. Eternal life is found only in him. He really is the way, the truth, and the life. That's John 14:6. My prayer for you is that you would receive personal revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that you would live that abundant life which he's promised us if we would walk by faith and not by sight. Thanks for listening to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our website at PastorVicsNuggets.com or simply PastorVic.com. Please do leave a review on iTunes or Google or any of the podcast platforms, and join us for our next podcast. Look forward to talking to you. May God richly bless you in this coming week.